The gospel lesson today is from St. Luke, the fourth chapter, the Holy Gospel, according to Luke. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all the synagogue were fixed on him. He began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
You may be seated. Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. You know, one Sunday morning years ago, I was greeting folks as they left the worship service. And one of my 12-year-old confirmation class boys asked me a question that amazed me. "Pastor Arlene, each Sunday that we confess our sins, how do you know what I've been up to?" You know, that was an amazing question from a 12-year-old boy. And so I laughed, just like we laugh now. And I said, "I know, because you are human. And many of us make the same mistakes and sin the same way you do." He kind of scratched his head. He shook my hand, and off he walked. You know, hardly ever have I met a person or a congregation that's eager to talk about sin. And yet, it's a very important part of our worship service each week. Now, we come here because we want to worship God and to please God, on the one hand. And on the other hand, we know that we really are not all that we seem to be on the surface. Thus, we usually have built into our worship service the opportunity to confess how we fall short of God's requirement of us. Now, because we have eliminated Holy Communion because of COVID, we're not doing confession right now, but instead we're doing the Thanksgiving for baptism. So you are going to have to do your own private confession, and just rest assured that you are forgiven. Now, this morning, all of the passages except from Corinthians refer to the law. Now, don't cringe in your seats, because I'm not going to go into all the requirements of the law. But what I'm going to do is to reflect upon its importance in our lives as the people of God, as covenant people. The passage from Nehemiah, in that passage, we read about the people Israel hearing the word of God after returning from many years of captivity in Babylon. Ezra, the priest, brought out the law before the people who were eagerly standing there to hear him read. Now, men, women, and children, and all who were able to hear with understanding stood there and they heard Ezra read hour after hour. We're here for less than an hour, and most of the time we're sitting. So can you imagine the dedication of these people? You know, they wanted to know what God had to say. And they not only heard the word, but it was explained to them. Remember that many of these folks were illiterate. So they got sermon after sermon. Can you imagine that? I mean, I get tired just thinking about it, hour after hour. When the people heard the law of God, they wept. Now, we don't know whether these were tears of joy or of sorrow. In any case, Nehemiah and Ezra told them that this was a holy day and that they ought to celebrate it and not be crying, but to be feasting and remembering those without. Why these words of comfort? No, it's important to remember why we received the Ten Commandments in the first place. No, God intended the law to be a guide to the people, Israel, on how they should be living their lives, to be in relationship with God and in relationship to one another. The law is meant to help us, and that's something to celebrate. We weren't left on our own to figure it out. At another time, I preached a sermon on the purpose of the law. And as an illustration, I referred to a trip that I took to Estes National Park in Colorado. Have any of you been there? Yeah. There, the Trail Ridge Road goes up to the top of that park, and there's no guardrail to keep you from falling over. And it's a bottomless chasm, let me tell you. The Ten Commandments are a kind of guardrail that keeps us from going over the edge. A parishioner, a young man who was a recovering cocaine addict, told me how important those commandments were in keeping him from going over the edge. So perhaps a proper response to hearing the law read all those hours was a party, a celebration for the great love that God has for us in helping us, in keeping us a loving people, just as God intends. Now here is where Psalm 19 is most helpful. So let's look again at how the psalmist describes the law, the ordinances of God. It's perfect, reviving the soul. It's sure, making wise the simple. It rejoices the heart. It's clear, enlightening our eyes, our understanding. It's pure, enduring forever. It's true and righteous altogether. It's more to be desired than gold and sweeter than honey. It warns us. It rewards us when we keep it. Now, who wouldn't want all those blessings? And they come to us when we live our lives as best that we can and follow these teachings. When I was in college, I had a very good friend who was a conservative Jew. And we would have long theological discussions, endless ones, and we just delighted in one another's company. One day, we were sitting in the library, quietly talking, and she confessed to me that try as she might, she could not keep all the 613 commandments that were given. I listened carefully, and I noted her great dismay and genuine sorrow. And then I said to her, "Of course you cannot keep all of those commandments, and God knows that. God knows that you're human, and that's why God forgives you when you fall, when you fail. God knows that you are not perfect. That's called grace. Read the Psalms and refresh your memory about the great love that God has for you." And then I said, "My friend, you have just heard the good news." And we both laughed. The law of God is meant to give us life. A life filled with blessings, a life that is guided and has purpose and meaning. Jesus summed up the law when he said, "You are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first and great commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments, on these two only, you know, depend all the law and the prophets. Now, that sounds easy, but how challenging this is for us. When we love like this, then we have life and have it abundantly. Moreover, the law not only guides us, but you know, in our lives, but we have focus and a goal and meaning and purpose. The gospel lessons tell us about how Jesus modeled for us how he used his understanding of Scripture. He had just returned from spending 40 days in the wilderness being tempted by the devil. And Jesus' response to each of these three temptations was with Scripture. He knew what God's word had to say, and that was his comeback for each of these ways that these temptations would lead him. He was strong because he knew what God expected of him. And then from the wilderness, he went and was baptized by John, and the Spirit came upon him and strengthened him even further for what lay ahead. And it would not be an easy road. Jesus knew where his life was headed. He had meaning and purpose and focus. He knew where his ministry was going. And this was confirmed when he read the scripture in the synagogue at Nazareth on the Sabbath day, when he announced that he had come to fulfill those words of the prophet Isaiah, that God had anointed him to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. The people were amazed as he spoke with them. We didn't read that, but they were amazed when he taught them about this passage. And this was just the son of Joseph the carpenter. When Jesus challenged them with how others, Gentiles no less, were favored by God, unlike them, they were offended. The crowd in the synagogue went from appreciation and amazement to rage and rejection. They could not face who they were when confronted with God's word for them. And they tried to throw Jesus off a cliff. Living by the law, by the word of God, is a challenge, and discipleship is not cheap. It costs us something, and sometimes a great deal, as we attempt to live the life that God wants of us. We need one another to get through, to give each other encouragement and strength for the journey. All of the community is important for this to happen. And that leads to the Corinthians passage. But that's another sermon. And I'll have to leave that for another time. It's a sermon all by itself. So thank God. Thank God for the liturgy of our churches, you know. You'll notice that at first, at the very beginning of worship, that we come to grips with who we are by reflecting on our lives and confessing our shortcomings to God. Then we receive forgiveness from our gracious God. And then we receive our instructions on how to live with the reading of Scripture and the interpretation of those passages through the sermon. Confession, forgiveness, and instruction in that order. Not the law first, with guilt and shame and confession and forgiveness. Confession and forgiveness first, and then God's loving and gentle way, words to guide us, to instruct us, so that we may do better the next time. What a gracious way to recognize this human condition of ours. So having heard this good news, rejoice, Rejoice that we have the law to instruct us, to give us wisdom, to revive our spirits, to show us the way of righteousness. Live your life with meaning and purpose, with clarity, and with love after the manner of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. And that will give you plenty of opportunity and reason to celebrate. Amen.